not quite sure where the rest of our attendees went. I know, but some of us have just brought it back.
There's a line now.
I guess we'll start and hope that they'll populate the meeting pretty soon. ESSAC meetings are always one of my fun meetings. I actually learn something very often, and that's fun. I turn it over to Julie, who will run the rest of the meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Julie Hammer speaking. In this meeting, can I please ask that everyone identify themselves when they speak and also speak slowly for the translators? So I would like to welcome Patrick Falstrom, Chairman of ESSAC, and Jim Galvin, Deputy Chairman. And also, I think we have a couple of our ESSAC staff here, and I think one ESSAC member, Yarp. So before handing over to Patrick, what I thought I would ask to make best use of our time is which topic of interest you would like Patrick to focus on first. Most of you understand how ESSAC works, so you don't need the background of who we are and how we operate. I think there are two topics of interest related to our two most recent ESSAC reports. One is a technical topic on public suffix lists, and the other is the ESSAC state response to the CCWG accountability. So can I ask for an indication of which, firstly, I'll ask for hands up on each of the topics. So who would like to hear Patrick speak on the public suffix list first? One, two, three. Who would like to... Oh, sorry, four. Was that Tijani? Who would like to hear Patrick speak on the CCWG accountability ESSAC response? One, two, three. It's about even... Four. Yes. Four, right. Okay, so accountability first... Sorry?
May I suggest that any discussion of the statement on accountability does not need to take a lot of time?
Okay. So we will do that first and then quickly move on to the public suffix list. So the first is slide 16, Ariel, and then back to slide 8 after we've been through those slides. Thank you. Over to you, Patrick.
Thank you very much, and thank you for inviting ESSAC to once again have a meeting with you. This is normally something that I find very interesting because you're one of the groups that actually do ask us questions, and because of that I will try to not take up so much time on the actual presentations. But let's start with the accountability enhancements. Next slide, please. What happened was that ESSAC supported the creation of the cross-community working group on accountability. We are though not a charging organization. We decided though to respond to the open consultation that closed a few weeks ago. And what you see here is the response, what we sent in during that open consultation. And that was ESSAC report number 71. What is important, what I want to point out, is that our charter says that the ESSAC advises the ICANN community and board on matters relating to the security and integrity of the internet's naming and address allocation system. That is what we are doing. Nothing more, nothing less. Regarding the recommendations we give, ESSAC has neither been given nor sought any standing for the advice other than it being of high quality. So whoever reads our reports can choose themselves what they are going to do with it. Next slide, please. Regarding this open consultation itself, we do not have any comment at this point in time whether or not the structure proposed has an impact on the ability for ICANN or the board to respond to our advice. It is coming based on the fact that from our perspective, parties that we recommend doing things should actually do it based on the quality that is something that we are living with at the moment, and we think that works fine. So we don't really need any other sort of mechanism. That said, for advice that are given to the board, there is already today some specific requirements on the board to respond. And in ATRT 2, there is a specific recommendation that formal advice from the advisory committees the board should take advice from the formal advice from the advisory committees into account, and that is something that we in ASSAC support. So on top of that, what is also proposed is that security and stability of the internet the internet addressing system is something that has moved to be a commitment to ICANN. So commitment number one is actually proposed to be security and stability of the addressing and parameters and domain names and such. So for ASSAC, it is sort of enough, if I can use those terms. And what is important for us is that there is a dotted line between us existing as an advisory committee, us giving advice, the advice living based on the quality of the advice, and ICANN board taking those into account, and on top of that, having security and stability, which we have listed in the charter, also be listed as a commitment to ICANN. So that's where the connection is. And that is the main reason why we don't see at this point in time whether legal structure is needed apart from that sort of dotted line. The second thing is that we are actually concerned over the proposed model where we have an SOA and AC membership model. Because the way ASSAC operates, we have we cannot participate in that kind of structure. Which means that if it is the case that it is enforced, that kind of membership structure, in that case, we have to change the way we operate. That said, we are a little bit reluctant to be involved in issues outside of our charter. And our charter, of course, also part of the ICANN bylaws, which means that if it is the case that this kind of model is something that will be the end game, we point out that in that case, we need to change the way we are operating. But on the other hand, as I said just a few minutes ago, we don't really see any need for those kind of things at this point in time. Next slide, please. So because of this commitment and the charter and the bylaws and the existence of ASSAC, we do expect that the community, which means the CCWG Accountability Cross-Community Working Group, which once again, we are not chartering organization for that, we just expect, given those kind of goals, we expect the community to adopt an organizational structure which actually will adopt and recognize these important issues. The last thing we are saying is, of course, that it was the first round, the first open consultation, and of course, like, we reserve our ability to make more formal comments and make the judgment on the final on the final recommendations from the CCWG accountability, and they have already announced that they will have a second round of open consultation. That's it. Is there any questions on that?
I'm not seeing any. Oh, Alan.
I have no question, but just a comment that everything has changed since last Friday, so everything is off the table. And the current proposal basically says you could ignore us as long as you want to ignore us, and someday should you decide you want to be part of the club for whatever reason, you might be able to. You could be able to. Best of both worlds. So I think everything is. I think we have, even before having seen your comment, we have followed it.
Thank you. But it's really important to read. People interested should actually read our report. But it's really important to see these two separate tracks. One is that we very explicitly point out how we connect our charter, our responsibility, via our recommendations to the board, and then to the commitments of the organization. That is really, really important. Given that that exists, the other things are like sort of not as important, or not any need for anything else.
Tashani.
Thank you, Julie. I heard you, and when we discussed the model that what was proposed, one of the main reasons that we didn't like it was because some parts of the community wouldn't be able to participate on the same footing, because it doesn't permit all the community to participate. So I think that this is now more or less over, and perhaps we will have other kind of proposal that will be accessible for anyone.
Yeah, that is absolutely true, and we hope so ourselves as well. And we also hope that, for example, if you look at the first bullet there, we point out very explicitly what, given also our charter, what we are looking for. So even though we are saying we don't really care, it might sound like the report is saying that, but let me assure you that regarding security and stability, we take that seriously, because that's our responsibility, and that is what we will look at also in what is currently discussed and the outcome of that. Thank you.
Just one follow-on comment. One of the reactions of the ALAC in some past issues has been the ESSEC has issued a report and it was to a large extent ignored. And one of the nice things about what we're talking about is we'll now be in a position, should we choose to exercise our rights, to say you should really be listening to the ESSEC. So,
yeah, one thing that is, we are working on since a way back together with ALAC. We are both interacting with the board and coming up with a better process of tracking our advice. And that is something that we have been doing together, and we do know that there is a new tool on its way to that we should test. What we have to remember, though, is that from an ESSEC perspective, I just want to point out that from our perspective, taking our advice into account does not mean that they have to follow our advice, just that they sort of explain why they are making a different decision. Thank you.
Ariel, you wanted to say something?
This is Ariel, and for the record, we have a remote participant, Murray McKercher, just raised his hand in the room. So Murray, can you speak and ask your question on the audio?
I am on audio. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Murray.
Thank you very much. It's Murray McKercher, for the record, from Naralo. I posted a question in the chat. I just will read it out. And I'm curious, in what instances, if any, would the SSAC or ICANN in general need legal powers to maintain the security and stability of the internet?
From an ESSEC perspective, as we said, we are giving recommendations to other entities, for example, ICANN board, to implement whatever we are recommending, which means that we don't feel that, and as I said, from our perspective, our recommendations are based on the merits and the power on recommendation itself. That said, whoever we are recommending to act, they might, based on the content of the recommendation, might do some legal action or, for example, involve it might be a contractual change regarding the relationship between ICANN and the contracted parties and whatnot, and there it might be the case that some legal advice is needed. But from an ESSEC perspective, no, we are standing by the view that our recommendations are based on its merits.
Ron, did you have a question?
Yes, Ron Sherwood. Can you tell me historically, to what extent has your advice been followed through and your recommendations accepted, and what proportion of them have been rejected or ignored?
our recommendations have over time become more and more crisp. So we have a couple of historical recommendations, I think. I'm looking at Jim a little bit, but I would say that up until document SAC 50, the recommendations have not been really clear. So it's not so easy to say whether they actually are implemented or not, because we were not very good at giving clear instructions, clear recommendations. If I look at, for example, from SAC 50 and later, which is the last 20 recommendations, I think that ICANN board, if we look at the recommendation we gave to ICANN board, they have followed our recommendation in all cases but one when they decided to go down a different path. There are a couple of recommendations which are still hanging. For example, we have given a recommendation on actually to roll the key for DNSSEC in the root zone. That is a project that they're working on. So I would say that either they have followed our recommendations, they're working on implementing recommendations, and then of course the question is whether we believe it's fast enough. And then they have chosen a different path in one case.
Thank you.
So this is Jim Galvin for the transcript. There's one other category. Unless if you want to separate out from work in progress, there are also some that have not yet been acted on in any way. So there's a few in that category too.
Okay, so seeing no further hands up, I'll ask Ariel to go to slide 8, and I think Patrick's got enough time to cover the ESSAC report on public suffix list. Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you very much. Next slide, please. So the first question, of course, what is public suffix list? Let me start by saying that we in ESSAC don't really like the word suffix. Everything are domain names, okay? But public suffix list, the three words together, is something that is used for this specific thing. And that is a list of or a database that talks about or informs where, at what level in the domain name tree registrations can happen. So if we look at the org top level domain, you can do registrations directly under org. In UK, up until recently, you do registrations under co.uk. Now you can also do registrations under UK. Or you can also do registrations, for example, under k12.pa.us. So these lists talks about where do you do registrations, where do you have what is technically called zone cuts, and on top of that, also what policies and other kind of information about what are the rules at that level of the tree of the domain of the namespace. Because if you just use the DNS, there is no way, for example, to know where you have these zone cuts and where the boundaries between the administrative the administrative boundaries are. Next slide. So why is this important? Well, it is important just because of cookies, certificates, and other kind of things which have to do with security issues, so that people, for example, don't create a certificate for star.uk or star.us when you know that there are actually registrations happened yet another level below that. It might also have to do with navigation, whether a browser should allow the ability to actually go to that web page. We also see more and more browsers, as I will give an example on the next slide. Some browsers only have one input field, and the question is this a domain name that people are typing in, or is it a query that should be sent to a search engine? It's also to make security or display better. It might be the case that a browser wants to display what is the domain name in a URL and what are other kind of things. And you see that on the rightmost column, you see that different applications use these lists for different things. And it's not even the case that web browsers use this list for one thing and email clients for another one. It actually differs between manufacturers of browsers. Next slide, please. So one example of these differences is if it is the case that you type in nick.allfinance. If you do it in Google Chrome 37.0, in that case, you actually end up on the web page. If you do the same thing on Apple Safari 7.06, in that case, you end up at the Google search page. These two browsers, it's not the case that the Safari browser is a much older version than the Google Chrome. They're actually at the same point, the same date in time, these two browsers were the latest version from each one of the two parties. Next slide, please. So we have a large number of findings that people are using public suffix lists for various different kind of things. There's no consensus of what they're going to use it for. There is no real accountability mechanism for ensuring that the lists themselves are produced in a fair, unbiased manner. There's a knowledge gap between people that set the policy and the registries and the maintainers of the public suffix list regarding processes. There's no universal library and software that is used for the developers, which means the developers are using for each developer is sort of implementing this their own way. Next slide, please. It's also the case that depending on what public suffix list, because there's more than one, that you want to have a change made in if you're a registry, the time it takes to get that change implemented varies a lot. And we have done some investigation that you can see that in the report. It's also the case that just because people use public suffix list in multiple ways, some people say there should only be one public suffix list in the world, but what we identified is that will not be possible. There will always be, we think, multiple of them, which means that for registries, it's pretty difficult to actually be able to communicate a change in policy to all of those public suffix lists. On the other hand, we do think that, and one finding is that if new gTLDs use public suffixes in a similar way like some ccTLDs, it might be the case that that we might get some harmonization. Next slide, please. So this is one of these cases when we're giving recommendations to all different kind of organizations to sort of make the world better. We have recommended the IETF to standardize public suffix list syntax, and that is actually ongoing in the debound working group in the IETF. Part of that work, it would be good if the IETF actually developed some consensus on various taxonomy and terminology issues. We recommend ICANN and the Mozilla Foundation, because Mozilla Foundation is running the most widely used public suffix list, but once again, it's not the only one. We recommend ICANN and the Mozilla Foundation to create informational materials so that people is aware of what public suffix lists actually are and what impact it has on the usability and acceptability of policies and policy changes. We also recommend ICANN to encourage software development community to develop and distribute programming and operating system libraries for public suffix lists. Next slide, please. We, of course, want application developers to, for example, use canonical file formats and authentication protocols for the specifications themselves. So someone that have developed an application that use public suffix lists can consume not only one, but maybe multiple of these suffix lists that exist out there, given sort of whatever the preference is for the end user. We also recommend the IANA to host a public suffix list that contain information about the domain that IANA is the registry for, because as we all know, all registries for TLDs do communicate with the IANA already about what are the name server records, when do they change their DS records for DNSSEC, etc. So IANA could actually also collect information at the same time about some of the parameters that we see in the public suffix list. And if it is the case that IANA do have that, it is possible for Mozilla and other public suffix lists producers to bootstrap their database and their public suffix list with the content of this list from IANA, and that we think would make it easier for TLD registries to update the public suffix list in the world. And that's it. Any questions on this?
What's the top
Holly Rice
for the transcript record? Sorry. There are some pretty important recommendations in there. What kind of response have you had from any of the parties that against which recommendations have been made?
We developed the report. During the development of the report, we were communicating quite a lot specifically with the Mozilla Foundation. And we also, actually, in this time, we had invited experts that are working and maintaining public suffix lists as part of the work party, which means that we do believe that the people running public suffix lists have been informed enough. Neither those people, nor Ayana, nor ICANN, have been running for the hills yet. So I think we are pretty safe. That said, it was released pretty recently. So, for example, we expect during this ICANN meeting that sort of starts tomorrow to have more discussions on what the impact would be for each one of the organizations. As we said, the IETF is already working on this, so I think the reaction so far is positive. On the other hand, people have probably not yet been scoping what resources are needed to do all these implementations. So we are still waiting for that judgment. Thank you.
Alan.
I'm going to ask a question that I've asked about a number of other ESSAC reports, modifying it as appropriate for this particular situation. How did we get to June 2015 and not have done this already?
Partly because we in ESSAC do have a long laundry list of things that we would like to look at, okay? And we don't pick things up unless we see that things are not happening. We really would like the community to take care of this without us sort of pointing it out. But so it's a combination of like that nothing has happened, that development is happening in silos, and no one is really gathering the community. And then finally, like, we are trying to compile things, and then it takes some time for us to actually get the act together. One of the things I can say that made us an ESSAC talk about this and also in the community is the same reason why, for example, the whole program on universal acceptance in ICANN, why did that start so late? Why was that not done all and finished already before the new GTLE program was launched? It's sort of a similar kind of question.
To be clear, I wasn't asking why it's taken ESSAC so long to get to it. I was asking, why do we need ESSAC to publish a report on something that should have been intuitively obvious, like universal acceptance and a few other things, a few other areas of recent reports where one scratches your head and said, but we sort of knew about this a very long time ago. How come the world hasn't somehow adhered to it? And it's a rhetorical question at some level, but it just totally amazes me that the level of maturity and use of the internet has allowed some of these things to go unanswered, but unaddressed for so long.
Julie speaking, if I could just add to what Patrick said, I think up until now what some people may not recognise is that these public suffix lists have been produced voluntarily without any financial recompense by these organisations, basically doing a public service. But the second point is that the rate at which new GTLDs are entering the root zone has actually meant that they're becoming obsolete much more quickly. So, Edmund, you have a question.
Edmund Chung here, and when I'm sitting here, it's from ISOC Hong Kong. So this is the first time I see this, and I think it's great. I guess building on what Alan was saying, though, I have been pushing for this for a very long time. So it's great to see this coming to fruition, and also the Universal Acceptance Steering Group that is coming, you know, getting up to speed as well. And I think this is great input to that group as well. One question I have to say, I haven't read the report yet, but just a quick question on The IANA PSL is quite interesting, and I think we touched on the subject maybe a few years ago when we were talking about universal acceptance. Is there any more information that you want to maybe highlight a little bit? How much of a specification is actually in the report on this?
What we're saying is that IANA should host a PSL with some of the information, but we also at the same time say that the ITF should look at what should the sort of the standardized minimum set of sort of attributes be. We are not specifically saying exactly what IANA the IANA PSL should include, because we still believe that there will be a multitude of these PSLs, and if we just create some kind of dotted line between the registries and the PSLs that people actually use in the world, that will make the situation much, much better. But I recommend you to read the report to see the actual wording.
Can I just follow up quickly, Edmund, here again? What are kind of the next steps you would envision, just I guess on Alan's point as well? You know, this is out, and then we don't want to be in a situation where, okay, this is out, and then no further action is taken. How do you envision this actually taking next steps and being actionized?
The only, well, ESSAC can, of course, repeat our recommendation if we don't see it implemented. And if we repeated things enough, maybe finally something is happening. On the other hand, the ESSAC report number 4 talks about spoofing of source IP addressing, and so far no action has been taken in the world, even though it's probably the worst and most problematic issue we have, which is a really big issue. The only place where ESSAC can sort of push a little bit harder has to do the recommendations that we do to the ICANN board to act, because we can at least force them to specify why they are not acting. But otherwise, we don't have any ability to enforce anything. What we hope is that, for example, the work on universal acceptance, work picked up by ALAC, work picked up by others, that's where the requirement should come, and you should reference our report as sort of background material that people can look at why certain actions are needed.
We're Julie Hammer speaking. We're already 5 minutes over time. Thank you for those questions. Sandra Hofreiter would like to present a very short presentation on the ICANN Academy, and Patrick needs to leave in 5 minutes' time. So over to you, Sandra.
Thank you, Judy. It's Sandra Hofreiter speaking. I will make it very brief. Patrick is aware of the leadership training program, which is going on for 3 years now, or it will be the third edition. And we have been in contact already that it would be really great to have an ESSAC community member participating in this program as well. Can we have the next slide, please? So the first pilot was in Buenos Aires in 2013, and the next one will be in Dublin, prior to the Dublin meeting. Next slide, please. What it's actually going to be, it's a 3 days meeting, or not meeting, let's say training program, from Wednesday to Friday for about 25 participants from all SO, AC, and the board, and staff is actually included as well, but they are at the moment more as an observer side. The point is that this training program is meant for incoming and experienced community leaders. So this would include the chair of the ESSAC as well. And it would be really great, because you promised you will, or your community will send someone. And if no one else will be available, I really like to invite you, because the expertise you could bring to such a program would be tremendous and enormous. And I know it's challenging because of the timing, but we really hope that we can get one of your community to this training program. Next slide, please. you will see according to this list, which has been agreed within the Academy Working Group and with the ICANN community, we provide 2 seats for the ESSEC. So I gave Heidi already those invitations where a link is published where community leaders should apply. The only important thing is we can only accept community leaders which have travel support, because this program does not provide extra travel support. It provides hotel costs, but those people should be already on the travel list of ICANN or come on their own expenses. Well, that's it from my side. I won't go through all the slides, taking the time into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sandra. And as you might remember, as you pointed out, I've been speaking well about this, and personally, I think this is a very good initiative. And for the first training program, we did send 2 people. It's also only the second one we didn't find anyone, and we now see, and I now have to see whether we find anyone here for the third. We got really good feedback from the first round to ESSEC. Unfortunately, that didn't help. I still couldn't find anyone for the second one. So we'll see what's happening. And yes, personally, I feel your interest in having me coming over there. So we'll see. But thank you very much. And yes, it's a very important program. And you can also, I also want to mention to you and ALAC, because you're also very close to the fellowship program here in ICANN, and I just want to say that we in ESSEC, we are working close with the fellowships, and we really believe in those kind of processes. And this time, unfortunately, we in ESSEC will not have a specific meeting with the fellows, but that is something we have had a couple of times, and we are already working on trying to arrange that for the next ICANN meeting.
On that note, I'll draw the meeting to a close and ask you to join me in thanking Patrick very much.